Welcome into a special edition of the Camel Call Podcast. I'm Chris Haymeyer, and coming up, we have our first sit-down interview with our new head men's basketball coach, Jimmy Williams. We talk about his family, faith, growing up in Kansas as one of 10 children. We talk his playing career, coaching journey, and his plan for Campbell basketball, both offensively and defensively. At the end of the interview, you're going to know a whole lot about our new basketball coach, and hopefully, just like me, you are going to really, really like what you hear. After the interview, stick around as I'll tell you about our red-hot CAA South Division champion baseball team and give you some info about how you can get your Campbell football tickets as season tickets are on sale now. But first, here's my conversation with Campbell head basketball coach Jimmy Williams. Welcome to Gore Arena on the campus of Campbell University. We are with new head men's basketball coach for Campbell, Jimmy Williams. And Jimmy, I can't believe how fast this hire happened. April 3rd, you were contacted. April 6th, you were here on campus. April 8th, you were named the new head coach for Campbell men's basketball. What a whirlwind.
Yeah. I mean, it happened fast. I was at the Fan Fest at the Final Four in Indianapolis with my kids. We were literally shooting shots in the Papa Shot. And I got a random phone call that wasn't saved in my phone. And honestly, I probably shouldn't have answered it, but I was just like, all right, I'm gonna answer it. And hey, this is Campbell University. We're interested in talking to you. And then from there, everything has been so fast, but it is, in a weird way, it has been so clear too. You know, a lot of times the best things in life happen with so much clarity. And every step we've gone through along the process in those 5 days, it was more and more clear this is where we wanna be.
You are a month in now as we tape this interview. What has been this month like? It's been a whirlwind as you try to put together a roster and a staff.
It's been great. You know, attracting people to a special place that aligns with your core values is not hard. I have not had to figure out how to position this place in order to attract really good people. I've just been able to bring people and expose them to this environment the same way that it felt for me a month ago. It's felt like that with the great families we brought on campus, and we've had some really good traction with recruiting, and we're going to continue to do that.
It's been a limited amount of time, but why and what have you found about this place that makes it so special?
Well, the people, first and foremost. That's what attracted us during the interview process. I'm a family guy. I'm one of 10. My mom had 10 kids, 7 boys and 3 girls, and they're all back home in Kansas City, and so I'm always drawn to a family environment. That's just kind of where I feel like I can be myself and I can operate with the greatest strengths that the Lord's given me. And this is 100% a family environment. So the people here have been great. You're one of them, Chris, but so many other people that love Campbell at such a high level. I love that. When I can introduce recruits and their families to people all over here that love deeply what it means to be here in the Creek, I'm drawn to that because that's who I am as a person too.
Jimmy, we were going to start back in your childhood anyway. I didn't realize 10 kids, so that will probably be the headline of this. But tell me about growing up in a family that big in Kansas.
Yeah. So first off, Kansas, much like North Carolina, is a special place with good people that have a deep passion for basketball. I mean, we call North Carolina the hoop state. Kansas is like that too. I mean, the differences between, you know, Tobacco Road and Allen Fieldhouse, and we were talking off air about the rivalry between KU and MU, and I just grew up with a deep passion for basketball, for all sports. My mom and dad are amazing people. They are the reason I'm who I am, and so thankful for the influence that they have been on my life. My dad was a pitcher for the Expos and the Mariners and loved baseball, coached me in all the sports growing up, and I'm now a coach, but my ultimate favorite coach is my old man, my dad. And my mom has been my rock. She calls me every single Sunday and on every game day, and it just quiets my spirit. So family is so important. I'm sorry, I'm getting choked up here, but I have the best family back home, and I wouldn't be here without them.
And the love that you have for your parents with 10, what was your household like? Yeah. What was it like? How the heck did they do that?
Yeah. So my senior year in high school, my mom was pregnant. And so deciding where to go to college, I was recruited by some schools that were further away from home, but I didn't want to leave because I had a sibling that I was not going to get to know or get to meet. So I chose the college that was right down the road. And, you know, I was changing diapers from my teenage years, even my junior in college. My mom was pregnant with her last. She was 46 when Joey was born. And, you know, I had friends coming over to the house and they loved it. It was a mile down the road from the university I went to. And we would babysit. We called it troop night. Every Tuesday night we would babysit. We'd go over there. And so my mom had six kids after I was a teenager. And so I kind of feel like I've been coaching and leading and, you know, I feel like it's just kind of been common nature for me. And big families are so important to me. I'm drawn to that. There's a lot of big families here at Campbell. I have four of my own and everybody's like, wow, how do you manage four kids? I'm like, well, it's nothing compared to what my mom and dad managed growing up. And so, yeah, being a part of a big family is amazing.
Your love for basketball obviously brought up in the area of the country you were in. Tell me about what kind of basketball player Jimmy Williams was who went on to play college basketball.
Well, I don't know. I was never the star, but I always outworked people. I was always motivated. I got that from my dad. If you want anything, you work for it. And if you're going to go for something, go for it all the way. He used to always tell me when I was real little, no man is limited. He limits himself. And he got that from his dad, and I got that from mine. And in junior high, I was good, but I wasn't great. I just showed up every day. And I think that's such a missed art. And a lot of people ask me, how do I get my son to be successful and to be able to eventually play it? And the number one thing is showing up, you know, just be there. If there's optional workouts, I wasn't gonna miss one. You know, not a single one. It wasn't even an option for me. So then I go to high school and was a part of a really good high school team. I just outworked all the other people that were at my position and barely beat them out. And then came to college. It was the same thing. Like, I had confidence from my work. And I'm kind of like that now as a coach. You know, I believe we're ready because of the work that goes into that and the passion that goes into being prepared. I think preparation is just simply, did you work for it or not? And so who I was as a player, I could shoot the ball a little bit, but that's because I worked at it. I had confidence because I put work in and because I had really good coaches and teammates. And my lifelong friends have come from the game of basketball, and all my childhood friends and my college teammates, and the relationships that you build through this game are so special.
Your dad being a coach and teaching you to love all the sports and teaching you, is that what started your calling to go into coaching post-college?
Yeah, so I had to step away. You know, oftentimes in life, you gotta go away from something to realize how much you miss it. So I got a business degree in college, and I played a little bit overseas in Australia. When I got back, I was just trying to figure what's next. And so my best friend from high school was a wide receiver at Arizona State, and he bought a house and became the wide receivers coach there after he graduated. And I moved out there on a whim and just got a job. So I was selling television airtime to personal injury attorneys. 100% commission, no experience, right out of school. And I was sitting there in that cubicle, and I was missing the road trips. I was missing the locker rooms. And long story short, I met this girl who was a waitress at the restaurant me and my teammates from the pro-am I was playing in went to, and that was my wife Stephanie, and she's the one that really pushed me into getting into coaching. She was like, just hearing you and what you're passionate about, you should be a coach. And so thankfully I listened to that. I went home to Kansas City and helped Coach Lamar, the guy I played for during the national tournament, and at the end of it I flew back to Arizona, and I was like, man, that was so much fun. I love that. And my wife was like, you know, I've been praying for other people to have impact in your life about coaching. And the way God works, three people had told me you should get into coaching. And I told her, I said, you're not going to believe this, but three people told me that I should get into coaching. She pulls over the car, is coming from the airport back to our place. And she says, she pulled out her Bible and she says, look at this. And she wrote down on there, Lord, send three people to tell Jimmy he should get into coaching if this is of you. And it was my dad, it was the coach that I was working for, and it was a mentor that was a close personal friend, and they're all like, you should get into coaching. And from that point on, we've been running towards it. And when I say we, I mean her and I. And she knows this is our calling. It's not just me. She knows that we are called to be a coaching family, and to impact college players. And when the hours get long and seasons are tough and losses are hard, we don't waver in that because we know what God's called both of us into.
And a woman this wonderful, this supportive, you met at a restaurant.
That's right.
Wow. How do you ask out your server at a restaurant? What was that like?
Well, first it was a swing and a miss. We had flirted, I thought, for an hour or so. And so at the end, I'm paying the check and I asked her, can I get your phone number and take you out sometime? And she told me right in front of my friends, I don't give out my number at work. And I was like, okay, I was shot down. And so I turn and start walking away and we get our things together. And as I'm getting to the door, she handed me a napkin that had her email address. And Chris, I went straight home and I typed up the most eloquent email I've ever written and ended up getting a first date. So asking her out was not the hard part. It was responding from her telling me no that I had to persevere through.
Oh my gosh. Amazing. And as you mentioned a little bit, when you are a couple and a family, the coaching journey to get where you were today, you've been all over the country, all kinds of different schools. Tell me about how that journey has been to get you here today.
Yeah, so we really feel like living scent is how we operate as a family. I think the only safety we have in life is to be at the center of the Lord's will. And we're gonna attack every position we're at like it's our dream job, and we're not gonna take anything that we don't feel like the Lord has his hands in. But every time we've jumped, we felt like he is sending us out. And we weren't looking for this opportunity. It came to us, and we weren't pursuing it. It pursued us. And then what we do scripturally is we pursue the Father in every big decision. You know, moving four kids and a wife and selling a house and buying a house, there's a lot of details that go into that. But it's easy if you know the Father's got his hand in it. And so we immediately went to prayer, and my wife she has never flinched. You know, when we took the job at Furman, this is one of the wildest stories, but we were in the van, we had just had a baby, we were heading to a football game, and I got a phone call from Bob Ritchie, and he said, I'm not even gonna interview you, I need you on a plane tomorrow. And I look over at my wife, and she goes like this, I mean, immediately. So she doesn't flinch, she knows it's what we're called to do. Life is an adventure too. Like, I'm a big believer in, you know, every single place we've been, we have a great network of families, of a church home, just of people that have meant so much to our life. And now we've been at six different schools. We have wonderful communities all over the country, and the game of basketball has shared that with us. And so when this opportunity came to us, it was just, is the Lord's hand in it? And if the Lord's hand is in it, then who are we to argue with it? And let's go. And so we've really attacked every step along the way. Right now we're in that little in-between where, you know, we're selling the house back in South Carolina and the kids are finishing school, and my eighth grader, he has a dance tonight, and this is his first time. He got the suit. He's got to walk up to the front door and knock on the door, and he's going to have his flowers in hand. He's going to pick his date up. So tonight's a big night for my oldest, but everybody's so excited. I mean, we're so excited to jump in with 2 feet.
We'll pick up your coaching journey at 2018. You mentioned Bob Ritchie. Talk about working there with him at Furman and building what has been one of the best mid-major programs in the South.
Yeah, and it's the same thing we're going to do here with good people. You know, we didn't turn a blind eye to we want high character people that are also competitive and talented. And there were so many times when I first got there that I got to see firsthand, like, we would say no to some really, really talented players. And it was just because of the character aspect of it. And a lot of times as coaches, and everybody's under pressure, you want to win, and you want to win badly. Not cutting corners for talent is something that Furman has done such a great job of. They've brought wonderful people in. Some of those players that I got to coach there at Furman are, I mean, they're lifelong relationships that are just amazing people. And in the portal era right now, where, you know, people are jumping all the time, what I got to see there is Bob Ritchie's job at Furman is to create an environment that's hard to leave. The reality of this world that we live in is people will leave, and sometimes for good reasons. You know, like, there is crazy money out there right now. And, you know, if someone comes here to Campbell and has an amazing year or two and completely explodes and has the opportunity to go make millions of dollars and go to the NBA, and, like, we are going to celebrate that. We would be selfish not to celebrate that. But what I got to learn even before money became a factor during my time at Furman is that relationships matter, bringing in good people, and building it with a firm foundation a cornerstone of good people, good staff. And like right now, we're hiring a staff here, and I want to bring in people here to Campbell that our players look up to, not just as coaches, but man, he's a good dad, he's a good husband. And finding a great fit where you're a great basketball coach, but also a good person, and a good dad and a good husband. And unfortunately, a lot of people that are in college basketball now see their assistant coaches specifically as absentee husbands and absentee fathers. And everybody's chasing a dream professionally. But what we've seen, and I got to see at Furman, is you can be an awesome dad and husband and an elite basketball coach. You can do both. And being a great husband and father propels you into being a better coach. It's not, you know, I don't have time to do both. Or when I go home, I turn the switch off. I'm dad. I'm you know, I'm Steph's husband. But then I'm filled up when I come back to work, and I'm a better coach when I'm here because of what I have at home. And I learned that at Furman, and I'm so thankful for my time there. I was a coach in waiting before I got that phone call from Furman. And at that time, I thought I was so ready to have my own program. The coach that I worked for, legendary Larry Holly, was 72 years old, had been the head coach there for 40 years. And at that time, I felt so ready. And it's so amazing. That time, that 4 years I had at Furman made me such a better coach. I mean, so many of the things that I use now as a head coach, I got from that 4 times. It was pivotal for my career, relationally. Bob was a big reason of helping me get this position here. Like, he was one of the first people that the search firm and the president and the athlete and Hannah, they all called. They wanted to know, and Bob will always be, you know, one phone call away, and so thankful for that friendship.
And you had obviously a great situation working for a great man at Furman. The Anderson job came up, a chance for you to be a head coach. Tell me about taking that and turning a program around until last year when they were 29-3 and the number one seed in the NCAA tournament.
It was amazing. And man, Anderson is such a special place. That's the hardest place that we've had to leave. Mm-hmm. And we're just going through it. And every time you leave, you always want to leave the place better than you found it. And we felt like we've done that everywhere we've been. And every place you leave has unique relationships, and it's hard to say goodbye. This one was really hard because we were the head coach. And we have some wonderful relationships there. We bought a house right behind campus. And so we were literally entrenched in everything Anderson. We could walk to work. Kids could get home from school and walk up to the gym to get shots up. We were really fully entrenched into that place. And athletic director there, Bert Epstein, is like a brother. He fought for me to get that job. And the president actually wanted to hire another guy, and it was down to me and one other guy. And Bert, I will always be thankful for this, but Bert went back to the president. He said, give both of them one more hour. Have them both come in. And when you get an hour with one, he'll walk out this door, we'll bring the other one in, and you'll get an hour with this one. And then you tell me at the end of those 2 hours who's the most prepared for this. And had he not set that up, the school would have gone in another direction. And it's just so amazing how the Lord works. And the president and I have since built a really close relationship. Dr. Whitaker has told me multiple times that he's so glad he didn't go with his original instinct. And, you know, very thankful for everything there at Anderson. 2 nights ago, we had our year-ending banquet, where we got to go over everything that we had accomplished, and it was the last time we would all be together. And we set 20 different school records and record for wins, and the first time ever that they won the regular season. We won that by 3 full games, and then to win the conference tournament, both had never been done. And I'm so thankful for the wins, but way more than that, what made those wins happen is the people, is the relationships. And when we were all together for the last time, it was cool getting recognized. We were the team of the year, and there was a bunch of individual awards, and you know, thankfully they named me coach of the year, and all that stuff was nice. But all we ended up sitting around talking about was the road trips, the bus rides, you know, the overnights, the breakthroughs that guys had, and preseason conversations. We talked about what we were going to stand for as a team, and then us being able to kick that door down, and everything to a T that we said in September and August that we are going to be about and that we're going to accomplish, we got to see come to fruition at the end. And it's so awesome. Unfortunately, there's so many years where you set these big goals and you're not ever able to realize them. Well, that team is always going to be one of my all-time favorites, if not my favorite team, because every single thing we said we're going to be about, we lived out. There was no drama last year. There was no, I didn't get a single email from a professor saying someone's struggling, nobody got in trouble, there was no disrespect. It was the easiest team to coach, and it was the best team that we had. And it's amazing when you can put people like that, that are all rowing in the same direction. It made it really, really hard to leave that and say goodbye. And that team will go into the Hall of Fame, and we'll be celebrating them. I'll be going back for the ring ceremony, and that team will be celebrated and will be forever yoked. And that's the thing I always love to tell teams is the closest teams are always the teams that realize their goals together. Like here, you know, I'm 46 years old. When I got this job, the group chat from the team that I played on in college is still popping 23 years later. And those are the teams that are always the most connected, are the ones that set goals and accomplish them and realize their goals. And so thankfully at Anderson, we were able to do that. It was a whole team effort, our staff, our team, our administration, and wouldn't have been able to do it without just amazing people. But they'll be forever in my heart and forever missed.
Well, with all of that, that situation with your family, with the team, with your AD and president, why Campbell, why now?
Yeah, so like I said, I mean, it was a clear yes. So 11-hour interview, Chris. You were one of the 11 hours, you know, sitting down and getting to talk with you and Justin during, I think it was middle of the day, we got to talk. But one after another, we kept meeting people that love it here. And then a lot of the people I got to meet with were here, left, and then came back and felt called back to Campbell. And I love hearing that. And I'm a big listener and things like that. And a lot of people during interview situations, they're only selling, right? They're talking about who they are and why they should get the job. I'm a big listener. Like that whole process, I was taking in more information than I was giving out, just trying to find if this is, you know, the why Campbell question, if this is what is for us. The other thing I listen to is I have a keen ear for the Lord. You know, my mom's always told me that pray that you have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Lord has for you. And so all day long, I have a constant dialogue. A lot of people in their prayer life, they'll pray before their meal and before they go to bed. I'm constantly talking to the Lord all day long, all day long. All right, Lord, talk to me. What do you think of this place? And is this place for you? And please speak if it is. And I'm here, Lord. If you want to send us here. I'm having that conversation for the 11 hours. The other thing I'm having in my head all day, Chris, is, man, I hope my wife loves it as much as I do. And so we came out here. I started at 8 a.m. breakfast with Hannah, and I walked out of the president's office at 7 p.m. So for 11 hours, we were here meeting with a bunch of different people, and the very end was with Dr. Downs. And I'm walking out, and I'm having that conversation with the Lord. Lord, please, if this is of you, make Steph and the kids love it. We walk out the president's office, just the two of us, and Hannah and Steph and my four kids are in the golf cart just having the time of their life. And they didn't know whether the job was offered to me yet or not. They didn't know where it stood, but they're screaming yes. Like they are like, yes, Dad, this is where we want to be. And my wife, she's like emotional about it. And, you know, Dr. Downs walks out with us. And so it's Hannah, Dr. Downs, my wife and kids. And we're all sitting right by the golf court outside of Gore Arena. And it was just so clear. It was so clear. And we knew that, you know, we were one of the finalists. We didn't know if we were what they wanted 100% yet. But we knew that this is where we wanted to be. And so the conversation that Steph and I had right after Dr. Downs and Hannah left was much like that phone call I got from Bob Ritchie. It was a resounding yes. It was not like, hey, let's think about it. Can we let you know tomorrow? So I was clear with both of them. This is where we want to be. And if you guys feel the same way, then we're ready. And thankfully they did.
Well, we are so glad to have you and your family here. And for those that don't know, not only at Anderson, but everywhere you've been, it seems you break records for wins, but also points scored, threes made. Talk about your philosophy and what we're going to see on the court come the fall.
Yeah, style of play is a huge one for us, and it's something that we recruit to how we play. A lot of people will go recruit the most talent and then put a bunch of coaches in the room and try and figure out how we're going to play. We're convicted our way works. It's worked everywhere we've been. Unselfishness and competitive spirit are two things that we're always going to fight for. The go-to guy is always going to be the open man. So last year we led the league in both assists per field goal and effective field goal percentage. So we're always going to hunt great shots. But we're going to do it with people that are always wired to get other people's shots too, you know. So we're always training decision making every single day in practice. In our skill workout and our 5-on-5, if the help comes, you got to create for others. If the help doesn't, you got to be able to score once you drive that gap. And we don't recruit shooters and drivers and post-up players and point guards. Like, the game has become so positionless. And so we recruit all players that can dribble, pass, and shoot. And if they can dribble, pass, and shoot, and they're wired to win and are unselfish, then the open man is going to reveal itself. And so, yeah, we score a lot of points. We give a lot of freedom in the first 7 seconds. I think everybody behind us will enjoy watching a fast-paced, up-tempo game. We train transition offense every single day. We're always wanting first three steps to get out ahead. We want our shooters to sprint to the corners. We want our bigs to be mobile and active and be able to get to the rim. And I'm so excited about the commitments we've gotten so far that fit into how we play. And we're going to continue to draw more to this program that fit how we play. But offensively, it's space, it's movement, it's a lot of threes, a lot of assists per field goal. And then we spend a lot of time on that. All right. So defensively, I believe you guard with your heart. And everybody says, like, what's your philosophy on transition defense? We didn't work on transition defense a single day last year. And we led the league in transition points given up. We had the least amount of transition points given up. And a big reason for that is we're going to crash the offensive glass and we're going to pick up full court and create turnovers. And so we're not going to be in a passive and send two guys back. And we're not going to be in retreat mode ever. Like, I believe we're going to err on the side of aggression in everything we do on the defensive end. And it's funny, like, sprinting back is not something you got to practice. The most beneficial motivator I've found over the years, if a guy's not sprinting back, we're going to bring him over and we're going to sit him down. We're going to talk to him about it. And if you want to be out there on the court, you can sprint back on defense. And the greatest motivator is always that conversation. You know, every competitive spirited person that wants to win and wants to be a part of something bigger than themselves wants to be out there and wants to contribute. And so we didn't have any issues with guys not sprinting back on D and guys not crashing the offensive glass. And competitive people that bought into how we play is something that we're going to continue to attract. So offensively, it's going to be ball movement. It's going to be a lot of assisted field goals. We want to hunt open rhythm threes and layups. And we want to hunt people in the recruiting process that are drawn to that. Unfortunately, a lot of people are wired to go get a bucket. That's how they're trained by their trainer back home. They want to go score. And so a lot of times you're bringing people back, and your shot selection film is something we're going to work on all the time. You know, you're bringing people into film and you're saying, this isn't a high percentage shot, even if they made it. Yeah, you made it, but let's talk about the shots that we can get. Like, you got two on you here, and look at this guy here in the corner. So we're going to talk about that. Our practices are going to be fun. They're going to be highly competitive. Everything we're going to do is going to have a score. We're not going to bring people in for 3 hours. It's going to be 90 minutes, but it's going to be go, go, go. And then we're going to teach a lot in film.
Finally, Jimmy, you've only been here for a month, already done so much. What does the next week, month, and summer hold for you in this program?
Yeah. Wow. We got to buy a house. We got to sell a house. We got to find a school district, and we got to find a church that we love. Like, that's the personal side of it. And I believe all of those are going to take shape. We've had so many people give us great recommendations. So that's the personal side. Professionally, here is the head coach. The staff, bringing in the right staff. We still got a couple of positions yet to hire, and we're going down that road. And like we talked about, bringing in people that fit who we are. There's not a greater compliment I can give one of our staff members than a player come in, walk by my office and go into theirs and have a personal conversation about what they're dealing with in life, and then walking right back out. I used to be a little bit offended by that, but now I'm so, like, we've got some wonderful coaches that are coming with us that are like that, that really care about the student athlete more than the player. And we don't want to serve the player. Like, it's such a service business. If you're not in this business to serve, then you're not going to last very long and you're not going to have any lasting impact. You know, the guy that I played for, one day he's going to go to heaven, and it's going to be a hard day, but there will be thousands of people in that church at his funeral because of the impact that he's had. And all coaches should have that mindset. And so we're gonna hire people that fit that more than can score against a 2-3 zone, or that know how to, you know, have a pretty spreadsheet. And we want people that are really good ball coaches, but more than that, really good people. And so bringing in, we've been selective in that process. We've had tons of interest. So many people are interested in this, and we're gonna vet the person first, and then, you know, the type of coach they are second, and then continuing to recruit. We are nearing the halfway point of building this roster, and we're really excited about what we've got committed so far. But We've got two recruits coming in today and their families, and we're going to continue to show them who we are and who this place is, and going to continue to attract people that fit here.
Well, Jimmy, we are so excited that you and your family and your basketball knowledge are coming here to Campbell. Thank you for believing in us.
Thanks, Chris.
That is Jimmy Williams. Believe it or not, it'll be here before you know it, you guys. November 1st is when basketball season starts, but of course we'll have a whole lot about Jimmy and his program, the new players, the new coaches. We'll get you introduced to all of them this summer. We can't wait to see Jimmy and the Camels in Gore Arena, but first, we are hoping we've got a whole lot of Campbell baseball wins coming up in the next couple of weeks. Campbell has already wrapped up the CAA South Division Championships. They did that 2 weeks ago. UNCW is second in the South behind Campbell, but they are seven games back in the loss column, looking up at the Camels that have a sparkling 23-4 conference record. Things are going to get really interesting, though. Campbell heads to UNCW for their final regular season series of the campaign. That is coming up this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Now, these games will not have any effect on seeding for the CAA tournament, which starts next week at UNCW. But it will be a huge advantage as Campbell will play in the ballpark where the tournament is being held just a couple of days later. Now, we don't know who the opponent will be, but we do know Campbell gets a first round bye and will begin the tournament on Thursday, May 21st. If you haven't been following Campbell baseball, number one, where are you at? Because the boys are back, and I will take some time now to get you caught up a little bit. They went 4-7 in February, playing a very, very tough non-conference schedule. But since conference play started, overall, they are 32-8. 36-15 altogether now, 23-4 in conference play, 16-1 on the road since February, with the only loss being at top 10 ranked UNC in a game that ended at 1 a.m. and went 14 innings. They had an 11-game win streak come to an end on Sunday. They had a 9-game win streak earlier this year. In that 9-game win streak a couple of months back, they beat Duke, Coastal Carolina, and NC State all in an 8-day stretch. At the time, both Coastal Carolina and NC State were ranked in the top 20. They have lost back-to-back games just once since February. They have an RPI in the top 70. 89 is their non-conference strength of schedule. It was top 50, but Gardner Webb and Bradley had to play Campbell next week in a weird mix-up of three teams that did not have conference games, as those are all teams from conferences, including Campbell, that have an uneven number of members playing baseball. So there was a team for the Big South, a team from Mo Valley, that had to play each other. But Campbell in those quad one games, 3-4 this year, 3-0 in quad two. It has been a sensational comeback year for Chris Mark. Is in just his second year as head coach with the program. Marks now has more wins in his first two seasons as Campbell skipper than any other Campbell head baseball coach. Campbell, a team to watch. They most likely will have to win the CAA tournament to make it back to the NCAA tournament after a two-year absence, but that is definitely in the realm of possibility for Campbell, as they are the hottest team and the best team in the CAA right now. So we will be watching the next couple of weeks, and hopefully Campbell will punch their ticket back to the CAA tournament. After baseball season hopefully goes long into this month and then into June, football season, less than 4 months away, believe it or not, season tickets are on sale now, and it is the best deal anywhere. Kids 12 and under get in free always. And for everybody else, season tickets start at just $60 for general admission. Reserve seats are just $80 for five games this season. That is $12 for general admission a game and $16 a game for reserved if you get those season tickets. This year, the schedule gods finally got us what we wanted after some wacky schedules, especially at home over the last couple of years. There are no back-to-back games, let alone the three games in a row.
There are no back-to-back games, and the opponents are really, really fun this year. We begin out of conference September 5th. Labor Day weekend is the home opener against Western Carolina. On September 19th, NCANT comes to town for a night game with fireworks. Then Campbell will play the homecoming game October 17th versus Towson, and November 7th, Stony Brook. November 21st, the last game of the regular season, is at home against Monmouth. So they are spread out. You get a game or two every month of football season. It's going to be fun, and your way to reserve your seats to get that seat for homecoming and to get into Barker Lane Stadium is to buy season tickets starting at just $60 for the entire season. Go to GoCamels.com, hit the ticket tab, or 1-877-GO-HUMPS. My name is Chris Samemeyer. This has been a fun Camel Call podcast. We will talk to you again very, very soon. Roll Humps.